This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Let's talk a little bit about the closing arguments in the case, and we'll watch some of the clips that we saw. We'll start with the prosecution and Lally. This is Lally talking. And flat out, thank goodness, recognizing one of those warts being Proctor. Let's take a look at this testimony and we'll talk on the other side.
Let me first just address Trooper Proctor. The text messages from Trooper Proctor are unprofessional, they're indefensible, they're inexcusable. However, as distasteful as those messages are, and their content is, I submit they had no bearing whatsoever or impact whatsoever on the integrity of the entirety of the investigation that Massachusetts State Police collectively conducted into John O'Keefe's death here. As was asked of Trooper Proctor on cross-examination, these were texts from his personal phone that he never thought would see the light of day. He was asked whether or not he ever thought that he would be asked about these in a courtroom, put to him as sort of a safe space, a safe place for him to discuss, if you will. What do you not see in those text messages? You don't see any discussion or any illusion of any conspiracy, of any framing of the defendant, of any planting of any evidence, no evidence whatsoever. Why? Because it didn't happen. There is no conspiracy, there is no cover-up, there is no evidence of any of that beyond speculation, rampant speculation and conjecture on behalf of the defense.
So basically, he's an abysmal human being and really is one that probably shouldn't be trusted. But he's the head of the investigation, and the investigation went great, except for the fuck her comments and all these other weird things that we're just going to say are not a big deal. Yeah, I agree. There wasn't necessarily conspiracy conversations in those texts about headlights or things, but there certainly was a strong bias that we saw from Proctor. How well do you think that played to the jury?
I don't know. You know, I think that what we have, because we know that there's a deadlock in there now, I think that the people that think the conspiracy thing is bullshit think that the conspiracy thing is bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that those text messages swung them one way or the other. They don't care because they don't think that there's a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. So they agree with Lally completely that there is no indication in the text themselves. I would counter that Proctor's not a total idiot. He's not going to put in writing that, we planted the taillight. Sure. So yeah, she's fucked. Like, I mean, come on, dude. Like no one's doing that. Like he's a cop.
Yeah,
like he would never put that in writing somewhere. Mm-hmm. You have to be an utter moron to do that. So like that didn't really, you know, ring with a lot of power for me. Mm-hmm. You know, but in terms of the bias side of it, there is bias there. I mean, he came to a decision in 16 hours and he hadn't done any real investigation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he went with, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him. That's good enough for me.
Said case closed, basically. Yeah, we're not going to look at this further.
Right.
Yeah. Let's take another look at Lally. This is in the closings talking about the alleged cheating on vacation.
She's indicating over the phone to Aaron O'Keefe, I don't think I'll ever see you guys again. Why? If she didn't kill John, why would she say it? You heard a lot of testimony about New Year's Eve and Aruba. You heard the testimony from Ms. O'Keefe in regard to them exchanging, her and the defendant exchanging text messages on the flight down, arranging times to meet up. And then the defendant telling Aaron via text message that she caught Johnny kissing Laura's sister in the hotel lobby. She got into an argument about it, and then they never met up. Meaning the defendant, Mr. O'Keefe, got into an argument about it, and she and Aaron O'Keefe never ended up meeting up in Aruba. You heard testimony consistent from Laura Sullivan, Marietta Sullivan, as well as the children. The kiss never happened. It never would happen based on the relationship, the godfather relationship that John O'Keefe had with Laura Sullivan, her family, and particularly Laura Sullivan's child. The defendant persists with this unfounded suspicion and accusations of infidelity in her text messages with Mr. O'Keefe, in her text messages with Mr. Higgins, where she's accusing Mr. O'Keefe of making out in the lobby with Marietta Sullivan. Both of the Sullivans and the children have the defendant and Mr. O'Keefe, following this incident with Marietta Sullivan, going into a room. Both of the children testified that they're in that room for about 20 to 25 minutes, and they're arguing, about the defendant, indicating that Mr. O'Keefe kissed someone in the lobby. And you have Laura Sullivan's testimony, about 20 to 25 minutes after her sister comes out and states her displeasure about the defendant. It's about 20 to 25 minutes before Mr. O'Keefe comes out, and then he and Ms. Sullivan have a conversation. Ms. Sullivan indicates that Mr. O'Keefe's phone is essentially blowing up, lighting up with calls and texts from the defendant. I would submit similar to the afternoon of January 28th. Mr. O'Keefe says she's crazy and he needs to take this and goes off from there. Ms. Sullivan has later conversations with Mr. O'Keefe on this Aruba trip, asks him if he's okay, asks him if he's happy. She indicated in her testimony that Mr. O'Keefe shrugs it off and says it is what it is.
What is the goal of what he's even pointing out here at this point? It seemed rather like, okay, we're just going to kind of pick a bunch of different things, rehash them a little bit, kind of give you the synopsis, move on to the next one until the judge finally said, shut up. It was just, okay, what's the point? Like, I get it. Like, you're pointing out she's a jealous girl, a jealous girlfriend, which would happen. Doesn't, again, make her a murderer.
I mean, that's what he had to hang his hat on for intent.
Yeah.
For the second degree murder, a required element of that charge to find her guilty is intent.
Pretty weak.
He had it, dude. It's as weak as water. You know, I mean, that is like every single relationship known to mankind.
Yeah.
Where you have somebody who thinks that their spouse is doing some shady shit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
even if it didn't happen, if friends come and say, hey, I saw this, you're going to be upset. You're going to have a conversation with it. Probably be an argument. Then things settle down. You figure out, okay, then they didn't see what they saw. That would never happen because of this relationship. Okay, settled.
Right.
Again.
And even if Karen still thinks when she gets back and they're back from the trip, mm-hmm. and that's the impetus of the Higgins text, like, where she's still thinking, you know, I know what I said back there, but in my brain, I know better. I know he was making out there, or whatever she thinks he was doing.
Yeah.
Like, that is the impetus of her reaching out to Brian Higgins. And like, Higgins was hip to it. He's like, yeah. I'm not going to be a pawn. Like, why did you get my number? I thought shit was good with you. And if you don't think that Brian Higgins had heard about the Aruba situation with Karen and John, you're nuts.
Yeah.
That is a small town. That inner circle is going to be talking. I'm sure it was a major topic of conversation. So Higgins knew. He said it five times. He asked her, why did you get my number? Why did you reach out to me? I thought you and John were good. I'm not going to blink. I don't want to be the man in the middle here. I'm not going to be the pawn. Yeah. He knew that there was a great likelihood that Karen did that, reaching out to him in order to use him to make John jealous, mm-hmm. just by way of her making John aware of the fact that she was texting Brian Higgins. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that's, none of that makes her a murderer.
No,
that makes her a woman who's like, you know, thinks like this is a tit for tat situation, you know, but that's all they had.
Yeah.
That was all that they had for intent.
It's not healthy. It's not a healthy relationship, but again, it doesn't make someone decide I'm going to go kill you on purpose. Right. Again, could it have been? Could there be an accident? Could she have been drunk, backed in? Yeah, that's a real possibility. But it's not second degree murder. Yeah, it's just a totally weak case all around. And I understand.
And to go back to your first question,
yeah.
If the Commonwealth comes back on it, they better drop the second degree murder and just come on the straight manslaughter.
Yeah.
When you put that high of a bar to a jury, it creates an issue for the jury.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have them sitting there thinking like that the state really thinks that this is a murder, mm-hmm. but they're giving us the option that maybe it's not. You know what I'm saying? It's like the state's not even sure. The fact that they've overcharged her with the murder, but then saying, well, you know, maybe she didn't intentionally do it, is telling you, like, as a juror, that they're not even sure.
Yeah.
So like, if they were to rebring the case, I would like fully expect them to get rid of the second degree murder. It's an overcharge. It should never have been charged. And then they just proceed on the manslaughter, because that's, in my estimation, the only winnable case that they have.
Yeah, I agree.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.